If you can, as quickly, let's see who's the last one to sit down. Come on, one, two, three. Cheryl, hurry up. One, two, three. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. Good to see you out this morning. And I just want to highlight a few things that are on church news to make sure you're fully aware of what's coming up over the next few weekends. Mother's Day's next week, of course. And it's a good day to be nice to your mum. Every day's a good day to be nice to your mum. But that's particularly a good day to be nice to your mum. Buy her a gift, bring her to church. And we're going to do a Mother's Day service, as we always do. And we'll have some free hospitality in our cafe area straight after church. And that'll be a great day. So bring your mums out on Mother's Day and absolutely spoil them. Network is coming up, our network course. Now, our network course is to help people that are journeying in terms of next steps. And we all are. You never want to stop taking your next steps. And so this class is designed to help people understand more about themselves and how God has put us together and wired us, personality-wise, gift-wise, and abilities, all aligning to help us serve God more effectively in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, and obviously also in the community with what we do in our careers and our jobs and all that sort of thing. So it's about getting the right people in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing for the right reason. And so this is a must-do course. It costs you $25. You get a manual. You get to sit with me for 4 weeks. And we talk that through. Now, to make it work, we need about a dozen people. That's 12. Turn to your neighbor and say 12. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? If you've not done the course, we ask people that, particularly new people, when you come to our church, what we want you to do is come and have dinner with us first of all. We'll talk to you about that soon. Starting point class, we do dinner. We fill your belly. And then next, we fill your head. And that happens when we do the network course and teach through that. So you can do them in any order. So jump on and register for network. You can do that in the Next Step Zone at the back of the hall to my left that Shannon referenced earlier on in the service. Go to the Next Step Zone, see our concierge. They'll help you all things related to Next Steps, registration of classes, or if you want to know how to be baptized in water, or baby dedications that we've got on next weekend for Mother's Day, then register all of those at the Next Steps Zone. Our next Leaders Equip Night is on Tuesday the 14th. That's not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday, 7 p.m. here at church for an hour. Then we have some supper, and it's for all of our leaders and teams. So if you're involved in a team serving anywhere, doesn't matter what you do, we want you here if you can possibly be here. So unless you've got some real priority matter in your diary, could you please be here? We only take about four of these a year where I get to speak into the culture and the life and the journey of our church and just how we do church. And so they're nights when we shape things, and so if you could be available for that, that would be amazing. The only other thing I want to tell you before I have a conversation with you this morning is our election's coming up. You're aware of that. That's on May some date. I'm not quite sure. May 18? May 18. We've got an election coming up apparently. And so what we want to do is we want to vote wisely is what we want to do. Now, my posture and position on this in terms of being a church leader is I'm totally non-political. I'm non-political in terms of any particular party. In terms of me encouraging anyone to vote a certain way. That's your business, and that's my business. But collectively, we have a business to be wise, a business to be smart, a business to be concerned about the future of our nation. So it means you're going to pray about it. And what I'm going to ask you to do is not only pray, but to fast, which hurts even more. How many of you know it's hard to pray? But it's even harder to fast. And so put those two together, and you've got a whole lot of crazy going on. So that's what we're going to ask you to do, is for a week, 1 week to pray. And so Monday, not this week, but the following week, we're going to ask as a church, if we go on a journey of fasting and praying just for 7 days. You won't die. Turn to your neighbor and say, you won't die. You won't die. I promise you. You're not going to die, but it will hurt you. It will hurt you. And so I'm going to ask you to fast and pray for a week up until we vote, and then you get to celebrate and whatever. And so please be praying into that. Not only do we have an election nationally, the current position of our Council of Governance here in Logan City this week, the Logan City Council, I was away for the week, but I was informed that they were dissolved in terms of the council and a new structure taking place, new administration put in place, and obviously our council is in some, you know, imbalance at the moment with lots of things, and people are concerned. Here's the deal, don't worry, don't fret about these things. There's a higher throne, there's a higher purpose, there's a bigger kingdom, there's a bigger cause, and God's got this, And we do need to be praying, though, for our city, that God would raise up the men and women that we need to lead our city. The kings of our city, God would raise them up. They'd be selected by God and endorsed by us. And so we take that attitude locally. We take that attitude also nationally. And we pray for those that are in authority. Is that a good deal? Who's looking forward to getting hungry? Yes, do that. Make sure you do. I think that'll be a good discipline for all of us. Today I want to speak to you a new series. I want to start a conversation about a new series that I planned to preach probably 3 months ago. And you need to know, I'm not a pop-up preacher. I don't just stand up and push a button and preach a sermon that I've got, a sermon that I've written. Very rarely will you hear me preach a once-a. Is what we call them as preachers, where it's just a one thought and then we leave it alone. I like to tease it. I like to test it. I like to try it. I like to trial it. I like to beat it out. I like to prepare it over a period of about a month. And so that's why I preach in series. Nothing wrong with a once a sermon. I'm just a series person. It's the way my head works. Once I start a thought, I can't get off a thought. It just keeps irritating me, and I keep rationalizing it and unpacking it and drilling down on it. And that's why I do it for a month. So today we're going to start a new conversation for a month, because I think we learn better when we learn over a month, because not everybody's here in any one given weekend, and that's why I repeat, that's why I repackage it, that's why I repoint it and reframe it week after week after week. And sometimes I think to myself, you're saying the same thing over and over again. And I think, yeah, but that's good, because that's the way we learn. I've learned everything that way. I never learned anything by doing it once. Everything I did once was awkward. Awkward. Every single thing I did for the first time was challenging and difficult. But when I did it over and over and over again, it became easier. I understood it. I was able to apply it, live it, learn it, adopt it. And so that's why I do it in series, because I think as we drill down, as we dumb it down, as we open it up, and as we explore it, it brings everybody into that space of learning. Everybody into that space of learning. And that's precious to me, that we all go on that journey. So I don't preach to impress. I preach to make sure that we unpack the message and the truth, as Shannon said, the truth of God's word for us in a particular stream of thought. And then we have the opportunity to talk it out. And we do that during the week when we get together in our small groups, our connect groups. Connect groups are not just something that we do as an add-on as a church. They're not just part of a departmental structure that we have. They're a follow-up for what we do on weekends, where we can further drill down and talk it out so that we can walk it out. And we do that with a group of people collectively in homes all over the city. I encourage you to get involved in a connect group. You can register for those in the Next Steps area. So it's a very intentional plan that we have in the way that we structure our church services and what we do in terms of our style, our language, and our posture towards topics. Today I want to talk about a topic that I think is probably one of the most important topics that I have spoken on in the last 12 months. I feel every topic I speak on is the most important one when I'm speaking on it, because it comes at the right moment for me. And I never cease to be amazed how God is a God of moments, that topics come and they pop up and they land at the right moment for me. Not only for me personally, but for me and my leadership. And not only for me and my leadership, but for me and my people. But not only for me with my leadership and myself and my people, but for all of us collectively as a church with the journey that we do. So today I want to speak about filters. Would you say that word with me nice and loud and passionately, like you believe it and you want to own it this morning? Would you say filters? Filters. We want to believe and understand the truth and the reality and the existence of filters. And I'm talking about mental filters. Turn to your neighbor and say, mental. Yeah, it wasn't calling you mental. Just saying, these are important. Mental filters. We all have them. We all have filters, mental filters that affect us, that define us. And so it's important that we understand filters. And I want to talk about how they fool us. I want to talk about how they form us. And I want to talk about how they fail us. How they fool, they form, and they fail. If we don't understand this, we're going to be continually being fooled and continually being formed in a negative way rather than a positive way, and continually be failed by the mental filters that we all have. I wanted to bring a big filter up here this morning, but I couldn't find one. I opened up the filter in my air conditioning unit in my office, and it was spotlessly clean, because around here, because of who we are, we get these things serviced all the time, and it annoys me because it's so expensive to get them done. And these air conditioners here, you'll be glad to know, on a regular basis we have these filters cleaned and prepared, and they spray nice smelly stuff in there so that when you come in here, it's not my aftershave, it's the perfume that's in the air conditioning units that permeates the entire building. Now, filters are quite often not appreciated. Not appreciated because they're not seen. They're foundational. They're things that in our lives God puts into our frame of reference, in our mind, in our thinking components, that filter information. And they are designed by God to be protective. But quite often, here's the thought, quite often what God designs to be protective for us actually ends up becoming issue for us, because we don't look after what God has called us and given us to protect us. And so it becomes something that causes issues for us. And so today I want to speak and begin a journey, and I want to invite you on a journey. That means this: you've got to come back every week, because if you miss it, you miss it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss it. Don't miss it. You can't afford to miss it. You know, when Cheryl and I first moved out on our property, we used to live at Sunnybank Hills for years, and you know, just on a normal house block, and we had water supplied by the local council, which is wonderful. You just turn the tap on and water comes out, and the council do all the work for that. You just pay a little fee, and it's all prepared and purified, apparently, by the chemicals they throw in there. And that's all I ever knew. I've never been in a home situation where we had tanks. We moved out to the country, and all of a sudden we don't have council water. We are now harvesters of water. And so we look for rain all the time. So when rain hits our roof, it's raise a hallelujah. It's like a love in the rain, because the rain means full tanks. But in my naivety, in my ignorance, when we moved to the bush, I just thought you turn the tap on, you could drink it, you could bath in it, and it's all amazing and wonderful, and it's not going to do you any harm. But what happened after a little bit of time was Cheryl started to get sick, and the grandkids, when they visited, they started to get tummy bugs, and people were falling like flies left, right, and center, except for me. And that's because I'm Iron Man, and it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me at all. It doesn't affect my constitution, so there was no worry to me. But to others, it was a concern, and I think Cheryl said there must be something wrong with our water. And so I went to the water shop, the pump shop. Apparently they have these things down at Jimmy Boomba. And so I went down to the Boomba and walked into the pump shop, and I said, I think something's wrong with my water, which is... just bring that back. I think something's wrong with my water. And the guy looked at me and he said, well, has your tank got filters? And I thought, well, I don't know. How are you supposed to know if your tank's got filters? No one's ever talked to me about filters. And I said, it's got a blue thing about this big. He said, that's your filter. He said, go home, and he said, unscrew it, pull the filter out. And he said, most likely what you're going to see will disgust you. Most likely what you're going to see, this is what I really wanted to bring in for you today, but I haven't got one. It's kind of like one that was prepared earlier for 20 years. And it was disgustingly green and black and all sorts of things stuck to it. You couldn't clean it. I didn't even want to touch it. And pulled it out, and he gave me a new filter to put in there. And actually what I did do was buy a whole set of filters. So now I've got three on the tank, and they do different roles of kind of preparation of the water. And the amazing thing was, when I put these new filters on, Cheryl stopped getting sick. The kids stopped getting sick. I stayed my usual healthy self. And now anyone that comes to my place, they can drink the water. But before, you'd have a bath, because we're old school. We still have a bath in our house. And you'd have a bath, and the water was like Coca-Cola, literally. Like, honestly, like Coca-Cola. Or you're showering, and it's just the water's... And it's because on our roof, there's possums. And, you know, people that live in the city sometimes think possums are cute. They ain't cute. They do bad things on your roof, and it falls into the gutter, And so do birds. Birds see my roof as some sort of landing thing, and just there's all sorts of junk up there that collects in the drain. You ever put your hand up to clean the drains on your house and get the leaves out? Because I get leaves all around the roof of my house, and all that gunk is going down into my tank, and I'm drinking that water, and I'm bathing in that water. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but your life works exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. Like air conditioners. You know, these air conditioners, if I was able to pull a filter out and show you today, you can see a little bit of dirt around them, but if I was able to pull the filter out and show you today, what these filters are designed to do, the air goes in and it gets either heated or cooled, and then it comes back out through the filters. And the filters are designed to capture the particles and the debris and the rubbish that pollutes us. And what the filters do is they help the air be more clean and the environment better and purer and cooler or warmer. And it makes it safe for human beings. When these things play up in large-scale buildings, they get diseases in them and they actually poison people and can kill people. Here's the deal. Unless we deal with filters, we are continuously being poisoned by the mental health filters that are there, that God has placed them to actually protect us, but they end up poisoning us. Because we're not looking after the filter. Turn to your neighbor and say, look after your filter. Look after your filter. Now, air conditioning service people are pedantic about the cleaning of these things. They're pedantic about it. And they come in and they clean them and they prepare them to make it better for everybody. After this sermon, some of you are going to go straight home and check your aircon filter, and you need to. And get it cleaned, because I'll tell you why. Because they are hidden, they are most often neglected. Most often neglected. Because we treat the external, not the internal. And this is what Pastor Marichal spoke about last week, which leads to this thought of series that I'm going into now called Filters, which is ultimately going to lead to a series I'm going to do on building a prosperous soul. Because I think God wants to speak into the soul of people to help us grow, to be healthy, to be strong, to be prosperous in our soul. If you don't care for your soul and your mental health filters, then it doesn't matter what the external is, it's going to implode because of the damage of what's happened internally. It'll be manifested externally. So get a technician. Allow God to become your technician. Allow God, the Holy Spirit, to come and deal with your water issues. Allow God to come and deal with what's poisoning, so that it can actually fulfill the role of protecting you and I. Does that sound good? Yeah. I think it's a good thought for us to explore for a few weeks, to understand that God has given us these mental filters to protect our mind and our function, and to protect us from downloading negativity, downloading disappointments, bad experiences into our heart and our soul. The truth is, filters get clogged. They always do. And they get clogged because of this reason, because they're doing their job. That's why. That's why a tire goes flat on a car or loses its tread. It's actually doing its job. That's why an engine wears down, because it's doing its job. But to stop these things from happening, you put some oil in the engine, you get your tires balanced and rotated and in alignment. You look after things. If you service things as part of a normal service routine, it costs you a whole lot less in the long run than if you live with neglect. If you live with neglect, the price is much, much higher. You're going to have to replace the engine, replace the tires, replace the air conditioner, replace all the water in your tanks, replace things in your life if you don't care for the filters, the mental filters that God has given us. And so we need to either change them, clean them, refine them, renew them on a regular routine so that it all works. So here we go. How mental filters fool us, form us, and fail us. Paul says this in Romans 12. Do not be shaped. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but something and someone or something is responsible for shaping you. And you get to be the determinator of what you allow to shape you. And so Paul says, don't be shaped by this world. He means the systems of this world, the thinking of this world, the patterns of this world, the attitude of this world, the behaviors of this world. Don't be shaped by those things, but instead, be changed within, exactly as I'm talking about, these mental filters. Be changed within by having a new way of thinking. And if you do that, he says, then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You know, a lot of people just can't decide what God wants for them. And I'll tell you why. Because they're clogged. They've been shaped by something else. And it's time to be changed within by a new way of thinking. So Paul says, if you do that, you'll be able to decide what God wants for you, and you will know what is good and what is pleasing to Him and what is perfect. In other words, you'll know the will of God for your world and for your life if you deal with your mental filters and let God create a new way of thinking. So we need to clean out what our filters hang on to. Clean out what our filters hang on to. Bad experiences, we all have them. Failures, we all get involved in that. Disappointments, had a few. Could write a country and western album. Got a plethora of that. Any friends out there? Only two. Any friends out there? Come on. We all have that. We all have that. Patterns of negative thinking. Patterns of negative behavior. Filters that cause people to say, no, I'm not forgiving them. I'm not forgiving them. I'm not going to forgive them. You know, that filter will cost you a whole lot more if you don't change it. It'll cost you more and create more pain. Holding on to junk in your filter, holding on to disappointment in your filter is only going to hurt you. It's going to cause you to live with that continued rejection and negativity. I think the reality is for every human being is that we don't really understand how much holding on affects our function and affects our future. We just don't comprehend how much that affects us. This little thing called filters, they're meant for our good. They're actually the source of so many problems for people and so many challenges. The good news is you can change your filter. You must change your filter. We all got to deal with our filters. Here's the thing about filters. People respond differently to the exact same circumstances. Same circumstance, different responses. I never cease to be amazed at how people can look at the same scenario, the same situation, the same reality, the same truth, the same circumstance, and have a totally different posture and perspective towards it. And it's purely because of the filter you look at. Somebody suggested when I told them what I was going to preach about that I should get on Snapchat. Now, I'm not on Snapchat, but I've seen people on Snapchat with all the fancy things it does to your ears and your nose and your lips and all that sort of thing. And if you're over 50, just forget what I'm talking about now because you're snapped. You don't know. When it comes to technology, we just don't know. Like, I'm amazed at what they do with technology, but apparently you can change the whole form of your face and soften it up, which is probably a good thing for some of us, and soften it and make us look beautiful and all on that Snapchat thing. Have I got the right app? Yeah, I have. Yeah, good. You're all looking mysteriously at me like I don't go on Snapchat. But I know some of you do because I've seen it. And so someone suggested I put all the Snapchat photos up there of Tony with all these reformed faces. Well, I thought, I'm not doing that. What? What's wrong with that? I'm not doing that. But filters, because that's the kind of filters that some generations understand and appreciate as opposed to the water tank filter or the air conditioner filter. We look at the exact same circumstance and see things differently. And here's the truth. It's not the facts that are different. It's the filters that are different. It's the way we're looking at. Some of us have filters on our eyes that help us to see things. But even with these things, we see different things in terms of the filter that is placed over what we see. Shannon mentioned it before when he talked about sore eyes and irritated eyes. Can everyone please just go like this to Shannon? Shannon. He's got red. I said, you picked the right morning for that because his eyes are red. And he's Shannon always puts in the big hours. I'm not mocking him at all. But I am. When he said, Shannon, when you said that it affects what you see, it's exactly right. It does. It affects what you see. There's a cloudiness in your eyes and you can't see things clearly. You can't see it clearly. So we've got to make sure we deal with these filters. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 7. Now, whenever Jesus says that you want to listen, it's written in red in the Bible, I think, for a purpose for us to help us. It says anyone. Would you say that word? Anyone. Anyone. What does that mean? It means everybody here. Anyone. Anyone who listens. Would you say that word? Anyone who listens. You can be an anyone, but not necessarily listening. So I want you to co-join those two thoughts. Could we have anyone and everyone listen? Anyone, Jesus said, who listens to my teaching, as Shannon said before, God's word, if you listen to it. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds their house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. God's word is a sure foundation, is what Jesus is saying. So you build on my word, you build on my truth, you build on my reality, you build on my truth, then your life is going to be solid. But he says, but, would you say but? Anyone, once again, same thought, anyone. This is a different anyone though. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains come and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So here, Jesus tells the story of two anyones. One group of anyones is the ones that listen. The other group of anyones is the ones that ignore. They hear it. They hear the same truth, the same situation, the same reality, but they respond differently. So the facts are the same. The listening is the same, but the responding is different. You know, that's why we respond to circumstances differently in a relationship, in a marriage, in a team, in a church. And I'm dealing today with a lot of people's different perspectives and opinions. And I see it sometimes when I speak. I see it on people's faces, the responses like, just confusion or like, I don't agree, that I don't agree face. Or that warm, lean-in, friendly, Pastor, we love what you're preaching today. That cheer on, that sense of, can I say this? I said it to our team before. We're not going to be Catholic today. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be Catholic. Don't be Catholic. Don't be Catholic. What I mean by that is this, is don't be quiet. Don't be quiet and lean right in. You're here for life. You're not here for a once-er. You're here for life. You're not here for once. And so today we want to lean in and receive what God wants to say to us. Because I'm going to share facts today and truth today and reality today. But we're going to have a measure of different responses today. It's determined by what kind of anyone you want to be this morning. What kind of anyone you want to be. So your filter makes you feel fear sometimes in the same situation where someone can feel really brave. You've seen different responses like that where someone was afraid and yet another person in the same circumstance was really brave. Someone can feel secure or another person can feel totally insecure in a situation because of their filter. Because filters make us feel stuff that isn't factual. It makes us feel stuff that isn't factual. You hear me say that all the time, that feelings are fickle. Feelings are fickle, and feelings are fickle for this reason, because they're filtered. Yeah. You ever heard of a friend or had a friend that is totally unfiltered in the way they talk to you? Yeah. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not so good. And you'll hear a comment in relational circles sometimes, oh, look, just excuse them, they're unfiltered. They just speak their mind, they say what they think, which is good in some circumstances, but in other circumstances, it's totally inappropriate. And so it's a matter of understanding this thing about filters, how they affect our feelings, and our feelings don't always tell us the truth because of the filter. So your filters also can make you feel inadequate. Inadequate. In the same situation where someone feels confident. I mean, why is it that there's a story in the Bible about a time when Israel was at war with, who were they? The Philistines. And they had a really big guy called Goliath, a champion of Gath is what he's called. And they're out of battle. And on one side of the valley are all the Israelites and the other side are all the Philistines. And Goliath would walk out in the middle and shout out some abuse against the Israelites and tease them and taunt them and yell abuse at the God of the heavens who the Israelites served. And David was sent up there to this battle. He's only a boy. He's a shepherd boy. He's sent up there by his father to look out for his brothers and take some lunch up to them. He goes up there and the whole army's freaked out and they're frozen because of the way Goliath is ranting and raving. And David hears what they're saying. He's saying he is the same reality, the same circumstance, the same truth is presented to him. But he thinks to himself, I'm not going to be an anyone that just lets this go on. I'm going to speak up right now. Because he realizes this giant called Goliath is just a loudmouth talking giant that needed to be challenged. And so he didn't respond like a coward. He responded with a courageous spirit and he took control of the circumstances. And that day, single-handedly, with the help of God, with one stone, he defeated Goliath and set the Israelites free on that day because of the way he saw things. Because in his filter, when he saw the challenge, he remembered the day he killed a lion. He remembered the day he killed a bear. And as he faces Goliath, he says, I know the same God that was with me when I killed the lion and I killed the bear when I was protecting the sheep is now going to protect me as I come against this Goliath who's defying the children of Israel. We've all got giants in our life that come against us, and most of them are in our mentality. They're in our mind. They're in our thinking. And that's where the battleground is. And we need to understand the way we respond and approach them depends upon the filters that we have. Your filters can make you feel offended with somebody when somebody else feels thankful and appreciative. That happens all the time in our relational circles. Someone can get offended with you when it's according to their filter, not the facts, but their filter of the facts and the way that they understand and align towards that. You know, often I find myself in sessions coaching people in terms of their life and trying to help move life forward. And I can give the truth to somebody, and sometimes they take it personal when you start giving the truth, as opposed to someone else who takes it personal. You can take it personal and get attitude about it, or you can take it personal and take on change and grow. You can either be offended or you can embrace truth and come out a better person. Some people take notes, some people take nothing. Always be a person that takes notes, not nothing. Take it on board. So I hope I'm introducing something to you today because I haven't even started talking yet. My time's nearly up. Filters. Filters control our feelings. Where am I going? I've preached too much. Filters control our feelings. They control our thoughts. They control our behavior. They control our relationships. Filters determine our level of isolation and separation or our level of connectivity. Filters. The way we filter things. It's not that the facts are different. It's that the filtering of the facts is different. The filtering of the facts is what makes the difference. Get the filter right and the function is greatly improved. If I ignore these filters and these air conditioners, you'll become sick. If I clean them, you stay healthy. The environment's better. It's pure. It's cleaner. It's better for all of us. The reality is our filters are messing with our feelings, and our filters mess with our function, and our filters mess with our future. So we're talking about how they fool us, how they form us, and how they fail us. So firstly, how filters fool us. How filters fool us. Jesus said this about Satan, our enemy. He says he has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of all lies. So Jesus is saying Satan can't help but lie because he's the father of lies. It's consistent with the nature that he has. That's who he is. That's what he does. So he's lying all the time. What I want to suggest to you is this, is that Satan has lied to us. And he continuously lies to us, which what is downloaded into our lives and into our frame of reference, our thinking, the way we think about truth and about circumstances and about life and about situations. And our filters are often full of those lies. They're full of those lies, not even new ones, old ones that have filled them and have clogged them through our disappointments and our rejections and the negativity of life that has clogged us up. Now, hearing a lie is not damaging if you know it's a lie. If you know it's a lie, you can deal with it. But if you don't know it's a lie and you see it as truth and you embrace it as fact, it can be soul-destroying. And this is what happens in our filters. Our filters, our mental filters, capture the lies of life sometimes. Captures the lies of life and causes us to see things a certain way. As long as you know it's a lie, then you can deal with it with truth. But if you don't know it's a lie, you're going to embrace that lie and start to live that lie. The day you start to treat the lie as truth is the day the enemy dictates your thinking, your attitude, your responses, your behavior, your relationship, and your life. Jesus said, if you, however, continue to obey my teaching, you are truly my followers, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the truth you know, as Shannon said before, is the truth of God's word. And that truth, as we respond to it and obey it, will set us free. So it's the truth you know that will set you free. There's just some things we've got to know. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know it? We need to know the truth for our filters because it's the lies we embrace that tie us up in life. Here's the thing about Satan's lies. He doesn't need to tell us any more lies because the old ones have already clogged up the system. The old ones have already clogged up the filters. The old ones just keep playing over and over and over like a broken record, and they've clogged our filters because of the leftovers from disappointments and hurts and rejections of life that happen to all of us. All the words that are spoken by other people have clogged up our filters, and they affect how we see people and opportunities and relationships and life itself. The lies from injustice that you've experienced, or criticisms or cynicism that's been around your world, and you react to people in a certain way. You react to circumstances in a certain way. You react to relationships in a certain way that is unreasonable because of the filter that's been affected in your life. So the enemy doesn't have to make up new lies as long as we keep believing the old one that he's already clogged up the filter with. That's what we need to understand about how filters work. Lies that deceive you, lies that fool you, lies that tie you up in life, and lies that dictate your emotions and also your state of being. Let me give you some examples of these filters. In regards to father, that word, the moment I mention it, there's a filter for some people. Marriage, diet, we were quick on that one, and giving. These words or truths all have filters attached to them for us. For some of us, that concept of father, because of our experience with our father, our natural father, we don't have a good reaction to that. It's a reaction that is sometimes not healthy because of the experience we have with our natural father is one that has left us full of frustration, even anger, the lack of tolerance that we experienced or whatever it might have been, the way you were dealt with, the home you lived in, the rejection, the disappointment, even the abuse that may have happened. It really continually just affects people, and they play it out over and over and over again in life. That's a filter you've got to clean, is the way that you view Father, because that's going to affect the way you view your Heavenly Father and the concept of Him being involved in your life and wanting absolutely the best for you. Marriage is another filter that we all have in terms of, for those that aren't married, the way you look at marriage and think about marriage can be messed up because of other marriages that you know, or your mum and dad's marriage, and you think, I'm never going to get married because of what I think marriage is. But just because you think it's that or even saw it as that doesn't mean that's what it is. It means that's the way it was displayed and exampled to you. You need a better filter is what you need. For some, the filter they have about marriage is it's full of junk because of the struggle, because of the heartache and the pain of relationship. And marriage can be often filled with that. And it's a filter that you've got to continuously renew in the way you view relationship and marriage. What about diet? What about it? That word just kills people. I mean, you take the T off, that's literally what it is. Die. Die. That's what you feel like when you're on a diet. So to get around that, what we try and do today in our trendy contemporary world and smart world is we don't use the word diet anymore. We don't use the word diet. I'm on a eating plan. And we somehow think that's going to fool the filter. Guess what? The filter's never fooled. You are. It doesn't fool the filter. That's hard to say that. It doesn't fool the filter. The filter still captures the fact you're on a diet, and it tells you you're going to die, but you won't die. You just got to stick to the discipline of it. Call it an eating plan, call it a healthy lifestyle, call it whatever you like. Your filter's still got to deal with it, is what it's going to do. What we have to change is the way we think about food, the relationship we have with food. I have an amazing relationship with food. Anyone else? I have an amazing relationship with food. I love food. And I've had to learn to try and control the relationship I have with food, because it was out of control. I mean, the food was behaving badly. It wasn't me. The food was totally out of control in my world. It would just talk to me. Anyone else's food talk to you? It talked to me. Now I find myself talking to my food. See, I've changed who is the master. I've changed who's taken control and the way I look at it. And now when it's spread out before me, I don't have to eat it. I can say no to that because I know it's not fuel. It's not fuel for me. And some people eat to be fueled and some eat to be filled. I used to eat to be filled. Now I eat to be fueled. And I want to be fueled because I learned the value of being fueled rather than being filled. So if you want to be fueled. You've got to eat differently and think differently and behave differently. And I'm not on a diet because a diet will kill me. I am on a eating plan. and a healthy lifestyle is what I'm on, because I need to change the way I think about diet, because my filter was not good. I used to think it would kill me to diet. I used to think it would kill me to fast. It doesn't. I'm amazed. I've survived a fast many times. And so when we fast in the next week or so, you can be involved in that. What about giving? Giving is another thing. In church, you get all sorts of reactions about giving. And how many times have you heard it said? And I hear it said all the time because people feel like I'm the one they should come to and say it to. It's like, hello, I'm not. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's not. You can say it to anyone. Don't say it to me. The number of times people say to me, all the church wants is your money. No, it's not. That's just as much your money. It wants all of you. That's what God asked for. He said, lay down your life. Lay down your life. And he teaches us principles of how to be better people. If anything, God just wants to get things to you. Get things to you. Don't allow your filter to reject it, to hold it out there and have that kind of attitude. So this giving thought is one that can be really polarizing for people. Jesus said this about giving: given, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will God pour it back into your life. According to the measure you use in your own giving is the measure that it will be returned back to you. It's not about the getting from you, it's about the giving to you, is what this is about. That's been my experience over many decades of honoring God in that way. But the truth is, sometimes when we talk about giving, walls go up, the shutters come down, the lights go out, the car, put it in the carport, put the garage down. There's nobody at home sometimes when that word giving is mentioned. When the real issue is simply it's a bad filter. I've got to deal with the filter. That's what I've got to deal with. So here's the thought: don't accommodate bad filters, deal with them. Don't accommodate them, don't tolerate them. Bad filters will mess us up. They will mess us up. They'll mess our people up. They'll mess our relationships up. They'll mess our life up. This is what we need to do. Don't accommodate, said that Tony. We need to review. We need to renew, or we need to replace bad filters. We need to review, renew, or replace. Paul says it this way: throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception, and instead let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. We need a constant renewal. We are under a constant renewal of our thoughts and our attitudes, because they are what dictate our behavior. We're talking about our soul. We're talking about having a prosperous soul. We're talking about having a future that is fueled by having our filters clean. So our filters, they not only fool us, they also form us. So how do they form us once they've got us fooled? The truth is, we take on our identity from our filters, because they shape the way. We looked at a verse before that talked about being shaped by the world. We are shaped by our filters: how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we see God, how we see life, how we see opportunity. All comes from our filters. They form our sense of self. Our self-identity is formed. Our self-esteem and our confidence is formed by our filters. Much of our personality is formed by our filters, or shaped by our filters, rather. Our filter has shaped who we are as a person and will continue to shape us. Not only that, our opinions are created by our filters. By our filters. You ever had someone that's had a contrary opinion to you about the same thing and the same fact? You know what the difference is? Filter. It's what's causing them to see it that way. See, when I take these off, you look better. But then I put them back on and I can see clearly now. Filters. See how powerful they are. Opinions are formed, shaped by filters. Attitudes are developed by filters. Like in church, when we talk about community and building community, and sometimes people stay away from that sense of community and engagement and interaction, stay away from involvement and participation. Why would people stay away from something that's healthy for them? It's like the dentist. Who loves to go to the dentist? Said nobody ever. A few do. Yes, I'm in that group. Yes, us three sorries in that group. And very few people like to go to the dentist. But you know, the dentist is actually good for you. It's good for you. Turn your neighbor and say, you need to go to the dentist. Need to floss. Why did the dentist ask you when you got your mouth open and they're looking into your mouth saying, how's your flossing going? Like, you can obviously tell how the flossing's going. What do you mean, fairy floss? Like, They know. They can look. They can see. Why would people stay away from something that's good for them? I'll tell you why. Filters. Filters shape who we are as a person. They shape how we relate. They shape how we react. They shape how we respond, how we think, our patterns, our habits, our actions, our activities. And here's the biggie. We become known as the person that our filters cause us to be. We become known as the person that our filters cause us to be. So they fool us, they also form us, and here's the biggie, we're going to keep unpacking this, how our filters fail us. How our filters fail us. So filters first fool us, they form us, and then finally they fail us. So what we are being told by our filtering of information into our lives is not always real. You hear it on the news. How many of you believe everything you hear on the news? We've got new terminology in our news programming across the world nowadays. It's like breaking news. Everything is breaking news. Breaking news. How many of you know that breaking news is not always real news? It's what? Fake news. Everyone say fake news? Fake news is full of it. Fake news. That's because there's an agenda. There's an agenda behind those that are doing the reporting of so-called facts to us. And this is where we need wisdom to understand not everything that's presented as a fact is real news. Often it's fake news. But if you believe everything you read on the internet from a blogger, or if you believe everything that you see on the news as being real news about a circumstance, a situation, a nation, a government, a leader, then you are going to be fooled and be the fool. Because the breaking news is not always real news. Often it is fake news. Fake news. And there's fake news that we embrace all the time. Fake news like, I'm not going to get close to people because I always end up getting hurt. That's your filter. It's your filter. It's your filter talking to you. It's not people's problem. It's you. It's your filter that you've got to deal with. It's not other people's fault. It's your filter. It's what you're projecting. The truth is, relationships are our greatest blessing and our greatest life reward that God wants to bring into our personal worlds. They make life rich and they make life rewarding. But there's fake news that comes at us all the time that challenges us in every area of our life. The media in the natural world get onto something and they don't let it go. They just keep projecting it. Even though they know it's fake news, they keep putting it out because it's news and they know we get suckered in by it. And we get suckered in exactly the same way in our own mind and thinking and mentalities towards lots of issues in life. They keep playing it over and over again. The same old story, the same old tune, knowing it's fake news. They milk it. They magnify it and they keep milking and magnifying it until they marginalize us. That's what happens with fake news. They sensationalize the story. Have you ever sensationalized a story? I think you protest too loudly. We've all sensationalized a story. Beat it up. We beat up a story. We beat up it because it kind of helps us emotionally. If we can beat it up, it makes ourselves feel good. Get the real news. Turn to your neighbor and say, get the real news. Not the fake news. I'm telling you that to say this. Every one of us has a reporter in our mind. We have a reporter in our mind. A reporter that takes every situation and circumstance and they flow, these circumstances and situations flow through our filter. And what can happen, our filter, if it's clogged up, if it's gone bad, it can create fake news for us to live out on. This is the most common reason people fail in life and fail in relationship is because of this filter. What we need to do is stop blaming the devil and start reviewing, start renewing, and start replacing filters that are affecting us. So here's the big question. What am I believing and why am I believing it? What am I believing and why am I believing it? Why am I responding or reacting this way to that moment, those words, that situation, that person? What is it chemically that happens inside of my mentality that causes me to go that way? And I've got to deal with that filter. I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to renew my thinking, to renew my thoughts, and to renew my attitudes. And the Holy Spirit works with our humanness because He created it. He created our humanness. And it's not wrong to be human. And I'm not preaching like a pop psychology to you today, or even a positive seminar to you today. I'm preaching the reality of how God works in our humanness, in our mentality, in our frame of reference. And often it's my mind that lets me down, not my heart. It's my soul that lets me down, not my passion, not my pursuit of God. It's my thinking that's stinking. It's my thinking that has deteriorated. It's my thinking that controls my soul and forms my environment. That's why I want to speak and have this conversation. Because this is challenging. Would you stand to your feet? Because I've almost said enough. God's got so much for our futures. So many good things. So many big things. So much for us to walk towards as individuals and also corporately. And so we need to do something with our filters. We need to recognize our filters. It's like that dentist when he looks in your mouth and says, "How's the flossing going?" You need someone to look in your mouth. I guarantee if you open your mouth up right now for your neighbor, they're going to go, "Ooh." Open up your mouth. And it'll tell the story of whether it's clean, messy, neglected, or whether you've serviced it properly. It's like when I take my car to a mechanic. I'm totally non-mechanical. Can I have my team come to stage, please? I'm totally non-mechanical. So when I go to my mechanic, I drive in. They watch me drive in. They hear me drive in. By watching and hearing me drive in, often the mechanic has a hint as to what the problem is before the problem even arrives. You know why? Because they know motors. They know it. I come in and I go, "Car's making this noise," when I go around a corner. Or the tyre's going boom, 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 boom. And I try and communicate in noises, and they kind of smirk at you. And they think, "I know what the problem is. Have you heard of oil? Water? You know, the water goes in here, the oil goes in there. Have you heard of air? Goes in your tyres, Tony. You're not meant to be flat on the bottom. Why did you only get 20,000 out of them? Breaking news, air." They educate us. Sometimes you just got to open up your mouth and open up your heart and open up your life and open up in your soul and say, "I don't like what I have. I don't like where I'm going. I don't like who I be. And so, Holy Spirit, I invite you to help me." Here's what you can do. You can have a conversation with a friend. And you can ask a friend to tell you what they really think about you. If you want to keep that friend, tell them whatever they say is okay. And if you can't say that, don't ask them. Because I guarantee you got some friends that really want to tell you what they think. Don't anybody come to me. Because if you come to me, you're going to leave this church. Find a friend. Number two, realize the friend you have in the Holy Spirit. Have a conversation with God and say, "God, here I be. Would you help me? Would you help me?" Would you close your eyes? God's got so much for you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to take those mental health filters and wash them and cleanse them and set you free. They were given to protect you. But through either neglect or unawareness, ignorance of how they work, they've become clogged. And they are affecting who you are. And they are framing who you are. And they've got you fooled. And they are failing you. I want to invite you on a journey throughout this series of conversation and into the next conversation that I'm going to lead in about a month's time called Building a Prosperous Soul. I want to invite you on a journey of life change. I want to invite you on a journey of self-examination. I want to invite you on a journey of declaring the person you want to be. I want to invite you on a journey of reviewing, renewing, replacing filters so that you can be formed to be the person that God wants you to be, so you can deal with that reporter in your mind that's telling you lies. You can deal with the past lies that have been sitting in your filter that bring a residue to everything that you attempt in life. If you do that, the mess can become a message and the scar can become a story. That's my promise. If you're in the room today, while you've got your eyes closed, and I know I've kind of been everywhere today in terms of this, but I want every person here to know the heart of God. God wants the best for you. He wants the best for you. The best for you. The best for you. And particularly if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, like you might be a churchgoer, you might be here for the first time, it might be your first day in church, and you don't have a relationship personally with God, you know of Him, you're not following Him. If today's the day you want to say, I want to start to follow God, I really do, I want to lean in. I don't want to be like that foolish person who has heard some things and just walked away and done my own thing. I want to be like one that leans in and builds my life, my house, properly and appropriately according to the truth of God's Word. I want to listen. I want to lean into that. I want to have a heart after that. Then I'm going to invite you today to say yes to Jesus. Saying yes to Jesus simply means I'm going to follow Him. It means I'm going to turn away from my own stupid and I'm going to embrace His wisdom. Now, don't be offended by that, because there's stupid everywhere. It's popular. In human beings, it's in high demand. We've all had it. Some have still got it. And so today, God can help us all. And so today, if you've not yet established a relationship with God, it's as simple as believing in Him, that when Jesus died on the cross, that He did it for you. And He died to set you free from your sins and to give you a life and a relationship with Him that is beyond your wildest imagination. Now, here's the deal right now. You need to deal with the filter in terms of that statement. Because for some of you, the filter has already clogged that thought out, thinking, I don't need it. I'm good enough. That's for people that are weak. No, it's not. It's for every human being. And God's already paid the price. He's paid for the meal already that you're about to eat called life. All you've got to do is walk up to the table and say, please, can I be involved in your family, God? So if you're here today, I'm going to ask you to do just one very simple thing, and that's believe. And I'm going to ask you to symbolize that by lifting up your hand in a moment and looking me in the eye. Everyone else has their eyes closed, because this is a personal moment. This is just your moment. So this is about you. I'm not going to parade you around the building. I'm not going to stand you up on stage. You can stay right where you are. I want to pray over you from stage. I'm just going to pray a prayer for you, which is a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of turning away from the things you're involved in and turning to God and allowing God to be really the leader of your life and to receive His love and His forgiveness today. Mostly everybody in the room has already done that, but there's some anyone's God's still looking for. And His Word says everyone that believes will be saved. Do you believe today? If not, now's your moment. Would you take a moment now to lift up your hand and look me right in the eye if you want to make a decision to say yes to Jesus today? Maybe it's a decision you made a long time ago, you've walked away from, you want to return today. Thank you, man. What a good decision. You can put your hand down. Somebody else today, is that your decision today? Lift up your hand nice and high until I see it. Look me right in the eye. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray a prayer to reintroduce you to Jesus or to introduce you to Him. He's the lover of your soul, the savior of your soul.
He's the one who created it. He's the one that can sustain it. He can clean it. He can clear it. He can clarify things. Would you lift your hand today and say yes to Jesus? Thank you, sir. Someone else, is that your decision today? Is that your heart today? Is this your moment? Is this for you? Would you lift your hand and say, by doing that, I'm saying, yes, Jesus, please, please involve me in that prayer. I want to be in that. Just once more, and then I'm going to pray. If that's you, would you lift your hand today? Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you, sir. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for these three that have lifted their hands today to heaven to signify to you and you alone they want to surrender their hearts and their lives to you. As they say yes to Jesus, heaven sends a resounding yes back to them and says, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Come in right now. Holy Spirit, forgive them of their sin. Cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Help them to engage with heaven. Help them to engage with you, Jesus. Help them to engage with a brand new way of living. Bring hope, bring help, bring life. Bring it to them, Father, every day as they walk with you, as they call out to you, as they cry out to you, as they connect in your family, help them on this journey of knowing God, loving God, and living for God is what I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, church, let's give a hand today to those that made that decision and said yes to Jesus today. If you said yes to Jesus today, I'm going to ask you if you would, if you'd go to the next step zone, straight at the conclusion of this song, if you'd go to the next step zone and meet the concierge down there. We want to give you a Bible, and if we possibly can, we want to get your details because we want to help you grow in terms of your walk and your relationship with God. So at the conclusion of the service, go to the next step zone. Now, I've gone long over time. I apologize, but it doesn't mean I'm stopping because we need to have communion while you're standing. So if you don't mind, we're just going to hand out communion right now. We're going to sing this song, I Raise a Hallelujah, and I want you to raise it right now as loud as you possibly can as we celebrate what Jesus has done for us. The team are going to come. They're going to serve you just quickly. Just hold the emblems until we're all ready. We're going to partake together. So if you love Jesus, grab these and just wait.